Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
That's funny. Picture house, picture this. Good afternoon on St. Patrick's Day Eve. If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. It's not our usual programme today. We're touring the country. We're going to Dunboyne, Askamore in County Wexford, Clonus in County Monaghan, Ballinskelligs in County Kerry, Athlone, all over the place. There'll be mentions of shamrocks, there'll be mentions of green-coloured mayonnaise, presidency of the United States of America, all sorts of things between now and 4:30 today. And of course, there'll be a bit of this. Oh, yeah. See? And a bit of this.
Turned nine times around, and the poor old dog was drowned.
You!
And I'll ask of the Irish Rover.
I can sense there's a lot of pent-up Irishness around. And it's all virtual tomorrow. We won't get a chance to don our green hats and scarves and all sorts of stuff and parade out in streets around the country. We'll have to do it virtually. We'll be doing it in back gardens and sit rooms and all sorts of things. So today we're getting you ready. We're geeing you up. There's a lot of camellia today. And this is really exciting because for the first time since this time last year, we have some live music in the building. In the building. Now, we've done it remotely in the last 12 months. We've done it from our Galway studio, from Christy Moore's house, from Limo Mwainley's house. But over in Studio 8, if our technology is working, we have Sharon Shannon. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, it's working.
Hiya, Ray. How's it going?
It's brilliant to hear your voice. Brilliant to hear. I'd love to be over there and give you a big hug, which I probably couldn't do. But I met you already when you were looking for your mask outside the security checkup. Checkpoint in RT.
I found it, by the way.
You did. Yeah. How are you, Jim?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. How are you, Jack?
How are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you. It's great to have you in Studio 8. And you know, the sound is better in Studio 8 than Studio 10. And Gar's over there and he's going to take good care of you. So this Saturday, Sharon, you're doing one of these virtual concerts from the concert hall.
Yes, it's with the big band at the National Concert Hall. And we have Lucia Evans, a.k.a. Queen Elle, guesting with us as well,
right.
Singing. She's amazing. And we're going to be playing music from the new album, The Reckoning. So it'll be our first time playing most of the tunes from that album as a band. So
I'm really
looking forward to it. We're going to be rehearsing on the day before. So
right.
I'm really looking forward to that on the 19th.
And the fact that you have a big band means that you are your own audience in a way. So you'll probably treat it like a session and the rest of us will just be sort of voyeuristically looking in online.
And well, I suppose it's going to be live streamed.
Yes,
so people can watch it from
I
think that's fascinating that people can watch from the comfort of their armchairs.
And from all over the world.
All over the world and watch it live.
Yes, and they can dress whatever way they like and do whatever they
You can
watch it in your underpants.
Exactly. Sitting on the couch scratching yourself with a beer in one hand. We leave it there. We'll stop the imagining there, I think. Now you're going to play Daddy Shannon's jig for us. And Daddy Shannon is IJ.
That's right.
Your dad. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, he's amazing, Ray. He's doing brilliant altogether. And he had his first vaccination, so he's nearly there now. That was about 2 weeks ago. So I think the second one is due very soon. And he's in great form and he's getting out walking every day as much as he can. And he has this kind of a tricycle thing, like, I don't know what you call it, some kind of a go-kart that he's able to...
Oh, yes, a mobility scooter. My dad had one before he died. not that they're linked. Sorry, that's...
Well, it's not really like a scooter.
No.
It's like more like a go-kart. He's down very low down in the ground.
Oh, is he? Right, okay.
Yeah, it's actually on... I did a video for Daddy Shannon's jig and you can see him on this go-kart.
Right.
It's actually like one of those go-karts with a motor that you go go-kart racing. It looks like that, except you cycle it.
And what age is IJ?
He will be 93 on the 7th of April.
Wow.
Ray, so yeah.
And what does the I and the J stand for, do you know?
Ignatius asked. James.
Ah, Ignatius James. I met him actually. He was up at the TV show, wasn't he, when you were in the kitchen with us?
He was. Yeah. You would have met him a few times.
We better play his bit of that, because on the recorded version that people will hear on The Reckoning, IJ features. He couldn't come up today, obviously. So will we play that bit of it first before we play your... You can play live then after
that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So this is IJ, Sharon's dad. What's he singing, Sharon?
It's... I don't know the name, but we were on one of our days out. This is a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we had such a fantastic day open in Doolin and Lahinch and Liscannor. He was in brilliant form. He'd had a pint in Egan's in Liscannor, and he sang songs all the way home in the front of the car, and I had the phone set up. I was videoing him singing all the way. He was in such brilliant form. So this is one of them. I don't know the name of this song.
Okay, let's have a listen. IJ Shannon, 93 this year.
When my daily work was done, I rambled down the seashore for a stroll. As I was all alone, I sat down on stone to view the fine scenes of New York. I said, Edin Gramacree, you're the dear old land to me. You're the bright star of the west. You're the land's sarcastic bliss. You're my own new native land so far away.
Hey! He enjoys the session. IJ does. Yeah,
well
that's
done,
great.
Daddy.
There you go.
Well IJ done, Daddy, if you're listening.
There he is. Is that his first play on national radio? Might be.
Yes, Ray. Thank you so much.
There you go. He waits till he's 92. Somebody will be signing him up soon. Okay, so you're going to play. We'll get two in anyway. We might get three in. We'll see how we go.
Okay.
So that's the intro. So now the actual song, the piece of music itself. Daddy's Shannon Jig. Jack, Jim and Sharon over in Studio 8 when you're ready.
Okay, here it goes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Daddy's Shannon Jig from The Reckoning, the new album from Sharon Shannon. And Sharon is live in the concert hall, and you can watch it via your computer, dice.fm. That's it, isn't it? Dice.fm is where you can get tickets for that.
That's right, yeah. And if people could forget anyway, they can find the information on my social media, my Facebook page, etc.
It's 30 years since you released your first album, Sharon.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a shame. Well, 1991, isn't that 30 years ago?
I suppose, yeah.
I suppose.
My God. Yes. Oh, my God, Roy.
I was just thinking that you must have many's the mad story about St. Patrick's Day, because you've been everywhere, I suppose, on St. Patrick's Day. Have you been in the White House?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have, yeah. That was St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. It was, yeah.
Who was that for? Which president?
Bill Clinton.
Right.
Yeah. I think an awful lot of the time we're in America for
first, yes, yeah.
Australia.
Australia as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And in Canada last year, weren't we?
Canada last year. Well, we were actually, this time last year, we were heading from, supposed to go from Toronto to San Francisco.
Right.
But we flew from Toronto to Dublin instead.
Right. And you've travelled with Irish presidents as well, haven't you, to sort of represent the arts community?
We did. We went to Poland with Mary.
Which in Mary's? Right, Mary McAleese. Yeah,
and or Mary Robb. And we
went to China with...
We went to China with Michael D. Higgins. Yeah.
Right. How did they react to Irish traditional music?
In China?
Yeah.
Oh, God, they love it, Ray.
Yeah.
They love music. Love it over there. Really, really. I'd love to go there again.
Yeah, well, there's a big audience there, you know, over a billion people. You know, if you got a fraction of those bought your albums.
Yeah, I know. And we did an interview one time, myself and Jim and Sean, and I think, were you there too, Jack?
I don't think I was there.
With a man called DJ David. He was kind of a very, like... Graham Norton type of a character.
Yeah.
We were having great fun with him, and we had been out with him the night before as well, so we were really relaxed with him, and we were messing now, and we were really, really having crack. We didn't realise what the size of the audience. If we had known the size of his audience, we would probably have been a lot more reserved.
Are we talking millions and millions?
Yes, 20 million.
20 million? Wow. We can offer you a quarter of a million.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's lovely to play to a quarter of a million people. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for giving us the...
It must be great to be out and, you know, in a studio and playing to people.
Oh, it's great to be here today now. It's so lovely to see the lads. And I'm just buzzing.
It's great playing
getting
tune,
to play
it?
With the lads. Yeah, get to play live.
And we completely appreciate it, and the audience appreciate it as well. Just, you know, because it's a return to some sort of normality. We would have had music in most weeks, you know, but we just that all stopped this time last year.
Yeah, you must really miss it.
At least for us
musicians, we can play at home ourselves, but for people that...
Yeah, who can't play music, who depend on watching people like you play. Yeah, but no, there was always a great energy. And even you're over there in Studio 8, but when you're in the Studio 10 and you're in, and there's just, it's like a session on the radio, which is brilliant. Rosemary, lovely to hear live music on the radio again, especially Sharon's that. Well, Sharon is staying with us, so too Jim and Jack, and we're going to get another tune, if not two, out of you before 4:30. For the moment, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Kermagwiv.
See you.
Bye. Now, I better tell you about our quiz of today, because we're going to be doing that. Yes, we are. Today, the 16th of March, as you would have gathered, it being the eve of St. Patrick's Day. And we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. And we're looking for two people to come on and answer 5 questions each. And they'll be in with a chance of winning a prize. And our prize today comes courtesy of Electric Ireland, who want to help us all make better energy choices. Because the more of us that do that, the better it would be for the whole country. That's why they're so excited about the launch of their smart meters price plans and all the benefits that go with them. Search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out more. And thanks to the people at Electric Ireland for the person who wins our quiz of today, they get a brand new iPad. Yes, that's a nice prize. And the first part of your journey is to answer a qualifying question. And here it is. In which Irish county would you find the town of Tuam? Which Irish county would you find the town of Tuam? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And good luck with that.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Let us know what you're up to. Frances is out for a walk. She says, it's a gorgeous day for a walk. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Ray Darcy. And from Goffstown, New Hampshire, USA, listening to RT Radio 1. Hello to all family and friends from Ailish Mulligan. And Breda's been on, and Miriam. Hooli in the kitchen at Johnny's Cottage. Hello, Mr. Darcy. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. We are three sisters from Chile, and tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, we will be streaming live from Johnny's Cottage at 6 o'clock for an evening of music, dance, song, Hooli in the Kitchen. We have over 20 acts performing the best from Kerry. They'll all be socially distanced, and we'll be following all guidelines and ourselves. And would you be able to give us a shout out? So there you go, Johnny's Kitchen, a Hooli. You can watch it online the same way you can do for Sharon's concert, which is happening on Saturday from the National Concert Hall. Now, a quick tour around the country. We were mentioned Askamore in County Wexford yesterday, and we have Helen Carney, chairperson of Askamore Community Council, on the line. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's great to talk to you. I looked at Askamore on Google Street View.
Okay, and what did you think?
Well, it's small enough, isn't it? It's sort of petite. Bijou.
Yeah, bijou. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, we're a small community. Yeah. There's less than 800 people here.
Aha, right, okay. And Sister Act, we were talking about this yesterday. So what are your plans for St. Patrick's Day celebrations?
So basically, we've organised a virtual parade among ourselves here in the community. We asked local children to get involved.
Yeah.
To take whatever pets or farm animals they had right. and video themselves having their own St. Patrick's Day parade okay. in their gardens or yeah. out in the lanes around them. And we've put them all together yeah. and then we've added in some dancing nuns.
That description is just brilliant. So gather up your pets and your farm animals and we're going to clip them all together and add in some dancing nuns. Who dreamt up that?
Well, I think I should add a disclaimer that none of us are actually nuns.
Yes, I know.
We're as far from nuns as you could probably get. But basically what happened is over the last couple of years here in Askamore, we've had a couple of fundraisers.
Yeah.
And in collaboration with our local school, Ballyallis National School, and our GA club, Kilrush Askamore, we've had fundraisers. So in every one, there has been a Sister Act group yeah. of sorts.
Okay.
So we had habits and it seemed a shame to waste the habits.
Okay.
So over the last year during the lockdown, we've tried to keep people's spirits up. So
yes.
the nuns have got the habits out and right. we have danced around the parish to try and showcase Askamore and the natural beauty that we have. The last one was a Jerusalem challenge a couple of weeks ago.
Brilliant.
To help raise awareness of a walkathon that our GA club was doing.
Right.
And then obviously we decided that we'd do something for St. Patrick's Day,
yeah.
but it felt a little bit rude just to have dancing nuns. So we thought, well, look, we better ask the children of the parish if they want to get involved as well.
So what are the dancing nuns dancing to?
We're Irish dancing in wellies.
Right.
In a calf shed.
Okay.
Just general, an Irish jig.
Okay.
Now, most of us have two left feet.
Yes. Yes.
So we're not the best Irish dancers in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you need any sort of dispensation from the church to wear habits and pretend to be nuns?
If you saw what we look like in our habits, right, you'd know that there is absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that we're real nuns.
No real nuns here. Yeah, yeah. So that you've done that video already, have you? And it goes live tomorrow, or are you doing it live?
Yeah, no, we have done the video
yes,
already.
Great.
We needed to make sure that, you know, we weren't mobbed by paparazzi. So we've done the video already. Then one of our nuns has edited and added all of the other videos, the kids' videos,
right.
and we've put it all together to music. So that'll go live on our Facebook page and our Instagram page tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, is it? Is that it? Yeah.
Well, we'll probably go a bit earlier.
A bit earlier than that, okay.
We want
okay.
to make sure that everybody sees it, right, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So we'll probably go live at lunchtime tomorrow. And it was just an idea to get kids involved.
Mm. It sounds great. You know, you don't sound like you're originally from Askamore, Helen.
No, I'm not. I'm a blow-in. Most of the nuns are blow-ins, actually.
Are they?
I'm here 15 years, so I have probably at least another 30 years before I'm yeah. called a local.
And for those people who are trying to locate Askamore on the map, it's sort of inland from Gorey.
Yeah, we're about 10-15 minutes inland from Gorey.
Well, yes, that's where you are.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous. And
there's a lovely view there. It's sort of undulating hills, isn't there? There.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
We're so lucky down here. We have we're part of Wexford Walking Trails.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of walking trails up Slievewee Mountain, so you can see out as far as Camolin and the sea down us.
Right. Sounds idyllic.
River Chapel. Yeah. So it's
and on a clear
fantastic.
Day you'll see a number of dancing nuns in the distance.
We never know where you're going to find
quite
us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Good luck with that. Where will people find you if they want to watch the video?
They'll find us on our Facebook page, which is Askamore Community Council. Or on Instagram, it's Askamore_Wexford.
Great. Thanks, Helen.
Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's
so
Day. Great talking to you.
And
bye.
To you
bye,
too.
Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
We go north now up to Clonus in County Monaghan and we say good afternoon to Rory McMahon. How are you doing, Rory?
How are you doing, Ray? Thanks for having me on the programme.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you have a tradition in Clonus of getting ahead of the posse when it comes to St. Patrick's Day parades.
Absolutely, yeah. We do St. Patrick's Eve because we do a nighttime parade and we have lights and we do fireworks, and it kind of leaves us that we're not kind of competing against other towns the next day. So you kind of get the crowd first, you know.
Aha. And have you any idea where the tradition started, Rory?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It started, I was on the committee that started it because we were doing it during the day and we found sometimes to get floats, they were going here and they were going there. So we said, if we go the night before, well, sure, it's nearly a trial run for them, isn't it?
Yeah. So they can do ours and do the bigger town the next day.
Yeah, and if they make any mistakes, they don't see it in the dark, you know.
Right, okay. So 12th of March last year, Leo Varadkar announced that the schools were shutting, and then, of course, you know, St. Patrick's Day cancelled and all that. So you would have had your St. Patrick's Day parade, sorry, St. Patrick's Day Eve parade planned. So what happened then?
Well, we cancelled at last minute notice because it wasn't actually fully shut down. I think at the time we said, well, we can't run it.
Right.
So I sat here on St. Patrick's Day and I kind of went, oh, we can't get a goodbye without doing something. So myself and my daughter Emer took to taking the cars out from the car box and taking the little Lego men out from the Lego box, and we set up a treadmill and we put it on the slowest pace we could get, and we got a photograph of the diamond in Clonus, and I just spun them past. We literally done it in one go. My wife says don't mention her, she was beeping the horns for the cars, and it literally went, you couldn't believe it, Ray. The song ended just as the last thing went over the line, and it got 20,000 views and people just enjoyed it. It was a bit of crack.
Right.
But this year then we said we're going to step it up a gear and do it properly.
So how long has this taken you, and how long is it?
It's about 20 minutes long. I'm at it for probably in the region of 2 months, building little floats and little signs and trying to come up with this business. What could I put on a little float for that business, and what could I put on for this business? And we built little tools for a tool shop and bars for bars, and there's all sorts of little things on floats coming and going. So I've been at that. Then my nephew Matthew Macklin, he joined in about 3.5 weeks ago, and then we had two local sign people, Stevie Toy and Harry Cleary, done little logo signs to put on them, and we put it all together and we started filming then. And it was purely a last day or two, all the sound effects and all the different things went in, because we had the challenge of it. We always put up fireworks, so we went, oh, maybe we'll not bother. And I said, no, we can't not bother, that's part of the parade, people come out for the fireworks. So we've done that as well.
You've done the fireworks as well in stop frame animation. Is that how you
No. We had to get very inventive.
Right.
So I had to take the whole set apart, bring it down into my sitting room, and all I can say is there was a table in front of my telly, a camera, and our fireworks on a 75-inch telly, but it works.
You have a 75-inch telly, woo woo!
Yeah, well, I only bought it a while ago because I said we're all locked in here, I might as well buy a cinema, you know?
You could climb into that, you could play with the Premiership
teams. Well, you know, we needed it because the time we moved the camera back, I said, geez, a good job I hadn't got the small telly there because it wouldn't work.
So it's 20 minutes long, it's all stop frame animation. Like one piece in particular which features a dressed up St. Patrick, it's not the original St. Patrick, how long did that take?
That little piece on the street that you'll see at the very near the start of it took nearly an hour and a half to film, and then you have to edit after that and put the sound effects in and everything else. So there's a few hours involved just in that little piece, you know.
And then Pat McCabe does the honours on emceeing the whole thing.
Yeah, Pat always does that. Pat's me man at Christmas and Pat's me man at all these things. So he does our voiceover for that very well. And I kind of let him at it. I says, these are all Lego people, but you just imagine now who would be on that float, and you give him a name and you sort it out, you know.
So this is a bit of Pat's. You sent us down a sneak preview because it's not going to go live until 7 o'clock this evening and people have to wait. But you sent us down 30 seconds or so. So this is a snippet of Pat McCabe doing the emceeing for the Clonus virtual parade, which happens this evening.
Okay, folks, you're all very welcome here to the Diamond here on this lovely St. Patrick's Eve evening. I want to thank everybody for coming out in such large numbers here today. Ah, look who it is. The ever reliable, the one and only, Hail Glorious St. Patrick, a.k.a. Dominic Cleary. Well done, Dominic. You never let us down.
I'm there. I'm actually there. And there's no visuals even with that.
Funny is there's another person seeing a bit of the clip and went, you know, it's better than the real thing, you know?
Yeah. You'll have to do it every year now.
I don't know
What I've seen, I'm definitely, we're going to watch it in our house tonight. Definitely going to.
Yeah.
So how can people watch it? Clonus Notice Boards and YouTube.
Clonus Notice Boards Facebook page. We're also Clonus Notice Boards on Instagram, Clonus Notice Boards on Twitter. The link's up there everywhere, and lots of other people have shared it around today and that. So if you want, I'll send it on to you. If you put it up on your page there,
we'd love to. And listen, well done. From the 35 seconds I've seen, it is amazing. So congratulations. And I think it's going to brighten up people's worlds, and it's going to get us ready for our national day, which is tomorrow. Rory McMahon from Clonus, congratulations to everyone involved there. Thank you, Rory. See you. Bye. Bye.
Cheers. Thank you.
To Dunboyne we go now. Monica Hannigan. How are you doing, Monica?
Hello, Ray. Lovely to be on with you.
Yeah, great to have you. You're a member of the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers.
That's right.
Right. Okay. I'm looking at the word yarn, so it suggests something around knitting. Am I right?
That's right.
Yes. Okay. I know this because I've seen the pictures. Dunboyne is now festooned in all sorts of pom-poms and bunting, and the trees and bollards are wrapped in. What do you describe those things as that are around the trees and the bollards?
They're called, literally called tree wraps.
Oh, tree wraps and bollard wraps and bollard wraps.
Yeah, and wraps, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers first.
Well, it's a brainchild of a lady called Suzanne Milligan. She's a GP. She doesn't practice in Dunboyne, but she lives in Dunboyne. So she should really be here with me because it was her brainchild.
Okay.
And she's probably the best knitter in Ireland. And she came to me last year because I'd be good on social media and a lot of people would know me in the village. So she said to me, Monica, will we try and do something? Will we try and do some yarn bonding? So I said, fine. So when they announced the lockdown just after Christmas, we kind of said, right, this is it, we're going to do it, and we'll aim for St. Patrick's Day. And we set up a Facebook page, and we got a lot of people engaging straight away. We had, I suppose, 70 likes on the page, people engaging, but we have a core of about 25 knitters at the moment.
Right.
And we measured the trees and we measured the circumference of the bark and we measured the bollards and we took dimensions for everybody, and everybody took ownership then on a tree or a bollard. And so I think we did nearly 30 bollards, 30, 35 trees.
A lot of work, Monica.
Yeah, a lot of work. Well, I was knitting. I mean, I'm not just saying me because I know all of them.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the 25 ladies. Like, I would say I was knitting every night for 4 hours since Christmas.
Right.
You know.
Did you take up the knitting or have you been doing it for a long time?
No, my knitting now would be a little bit now, you know, it would be a bit hit and miss compared to some of the professionals in the group. But to be honest with you, you don't have to be a professional because, you know, it's wrapped around the tree and they're decorated with, you know, shamrocks and flowers and everything. So, you know, you don't have to be a fantastic knitter. I used to knit when I was young. My mum taught me. And like what a lot of the ladies probably have done it over the years. So it was really lovely to get back to it.
Yeah, and it's, I see Jenny doing it at home. It's sort of nearly meditative and it's very relaxing.
Well, it's addictive and meditative.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, congratulations. Have you counted the number of pieces between bits of bunting and pom-poms?
Oh, I'd say
and
there's
wrappings.
Hundreds.
Hundreds, yes.
Hundreds, yeah. And, I mean, it's quite spectacular because in the village in Dunboyne, we have this island, you know, we call it the island, and, you know, it's called the Jesus statue. The Jesus statue's on the island. And we had a massive big tree there for years, which was cut down last year because it was poisonous. It had some sort of a virus in it, and it was a little bit disappointing for everybody because it was very much part of
a centerpiece,
the community.
Yeah.
So we decided we'd do the island. So the whole island in the middle of the village has been done,
and it looks brilliant. It's full of daffodils.
Full of daffodils as well. Yeah,
and then all of your hard work.
From
tree
to
tree.
We have St. Patrick. We have snakes. We have parachutes, we have hot air balloons, we've butterflies, we've bunting, flags, everything.
What's the reaction been from people in Dunboyne?
To be honest with you, you know, it's been, I feel like I'm actually tired listening to my own voice at this stage. you know, it's been absolutely fantastic. I'm so delighted for everybody in Dunboyne and for everybody that contributed and put the time in, because it's really after causing an amazing joy happiness.
Yeah.
And people are just really appreciative. And I think it's just been great because we would always normally have a parade. And obviously we didn't have one last year, and then we don't have one this year. So, you know, at least maybe families will come down to the village tomorrow and have a little look at it, I mean, and take some photographs and feel like they're, you know, they're engaging in something to do with St. Patrick's Day, you know.
I can hear just from you talking to you that it's given the whole community a lift.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're delighted. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Facebook page has been going mad. RTÉ had a thing put up, you know, they put me up on the, they put us all up on the social media.
Yes,
You know, and we've had LMFM rang me this morning.
Right.
Yes. Great, so it's been fantastic.
All, now RTÉ, LMFM.
Probably. Well, you're the best, you know, Ray. We always say the best to last.
Yeah, go on.
I couldn't believe it. I shook from head to toe when they rang me this morning and said, you wanted to talk to me?
You're going out of that now. I'm getting embarrassed. Monica Hannigan, well done to you and the Dunboyne Yarn Bombers. And
no,
enjoy St. Patrick's Day.
And
good
happy
luck.
St. Patrick's Day to
see
everybody.
You. Bye, bye, bye. Bit of the Donnan there and Irish Molly. Aisling here, just baking a Paddy's Day carrot cake, helped by my mam Sandra, and it's just fallen off the tin. Help. Oh no, I hate that. Sending Patrick's Day love and wishes to her brother, Father Adrian Egan in Ballyfermot Parish, from all his family in Limerick. It won't be long now. And Askamore is just above Cranford, where Ed Sheeran's granny is from. Ah, I didn't know that. There you go. Thanks for that. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Today we're vaccinating people all over the country, having started with the most vulnerable. We're using all available vaccines as quickly as possible, and by the end of June, up to 80% of adults will have protection against COVID-19. So for now, wear a mask, limit your contacts and social distance. Then soon we'll see a brighter day. We're on the way from the Government of Ireland. Follow our detailed vaccination plan at gov.ie.
Love is at PetFix, along with our great range of pet products, we also offer scheduled flea and worm treatments direct to your door, so you can spend more time with your furry friends. And you get free delivery on orders over €35. What about that, Snowball? Love your pet? Visit petfixshop.ie.
Drive Time with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Coming up on today's Drive Time.
Policing St. Patrick's Day. We'll look at the massive Gorda operation for tomorrow amid fears people will break COVID restrictions.
Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald on her call for Leo Varadkar to resign.
And the European Medicines Agency says reports of blood clots after AstraZeneca vaccine are of serious concern. We'll get the latest.
Join us from 4:30 on Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A huge part of Ireland's relationship with the United States of America is all the ritual and ceremony around St. Patrick's Day. This year it's gone virtual. But a couple of things have remained the same. And one of those is the crystal bowl that will be presented to the new president of the United States of America, Joe Biden. And we have Eamon Terry, master craftsman at Crystal and Arena, on the line. The man who made the bowl that the president will be looking at tomorrow when he talks to Micheál Martin virtually. How are you doing, Eamon?
Good afternoon, Ray.
Congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
It's a big... Is this your second or third? Second?
It's the second. It's the second one, yes.
Okay. So we spoke to you back in 2017 when you made the bowl that was presented to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Right. Who'd be your favourite now, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Are you not political?
I can't say. Yeah. I mean, the bowl is really made for the office of the president.
Of course, of course, so, of course. Not for an individual.
But it's a great honour to be asked to make the bowl in the first place.
Yeah. So now you can't give too much away, I believe.
No.
You know that it will be on the desk in front of Joe Biden tomorrow.
Yes, it's a virtual presentation tomorrow. Sadly, Micheál Martin won't be there in person to hand it over, so it's all been done over Zoom or some sort of a thing like that.
Okay. And when did you find out that you got the commission?
About 2 weeks ago.
No way.
Yep. No pressure.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah. Yeah. And then, I had a week to produce the bowl and finish it.
And do you get design? Do you get detailed design?
What happens is that in January, sometimes usually in January, the government send out expressions of interest of anybody, all the crystal companies, to submit a design and a theme for the bowl. But I had been working on the theme in my head and drawings and sketches and things way before Christmas. So it was just to make the bowl then, really.
And can you tell us what the theme is, even?
No, I'm sorry.
You can't?
Well, the embargo is until the bowl is presented to the president. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Yes.
So the theme and the design, and it should probably be explained to him.
Right. But we know it's a bowl, and we know it's crystal, and we know it's probably the same size as previous bowls.
Yes, it is. There's a standard size. It has to be 9 inches. It has to be made of crystal, and it has to be made in Ireland.
Right. Okay. Yeah. When we spoke to you before, you originally worked in Waterford Glass. And like a lot of your colleagues, were made redundant when that closed down. How many of you went into business, continued with the craft?
Well, I actually left before the company closed.
Right.
I was gone a long time before that because I always wanted to move out and do things on my own. So I left actually in 1987.
Okay,
and I've been working on my own since. And I kind of take a different twist on designing of crystal. There aren't that many people that have stayed with it, I suppose. It depends. If you come out of a factory environment, maybe if you're made redundant, it may not be what you want to go to start again.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
I left the company wanting to create and make
your own stuff.
Yes.
Have you seen Blown Away on Netflix?
Sorry?
Have you seen Blown Away on Netflix? No.
I have.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, yeah.
Yes.
It is.
Just
it
for
is.
People who haven't watched it, it's sort of a reality game show type thing, but instead of baking or making pottery, they're blowing glass.
They're blowing glass.
Yes.
Yeah. You are working with a fragile substance, so no matter what you're doing, even if you're cutting pieces of crystal, you can always be just doing the last thing and.
Smash.
It can crack.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that bothers you, you're in the wrong business.
How much would this piece of crystal now that we'll see tomorrow, be, or maybe pictures in the paper on Thursday, how much would it be worth? Or is there a price on it?
I don't know. I can't put a price on it. I mean, you don't do it for the honour of the value of it.
Yes.
It's the honour of making it. You don't really make anything on it, but the publicity that you gain from making something like this is priceless.
And I suppose the fact that Joe Biden has this very special relationship with Ireland, that makes it extra special.
It does. And hopefully he will visit Ireland in the near future. And that will be good for Ireland as well. I think he'll be good for Ireland.
Yeah. Do you make a replica? Or?
Yeah, when I make something, I always make a backup just in case. Even like the bowl was made, it was intact. I shipped it. You don't know what's going to happen between here and the United States.
Yes.
Thankfully, it arrived in one piece. So I have a replica, and I have a replica of the original one as well. So over in the last 4 years, the amount of people that would have come through the showroom here and looked at the bowl, supporters of President Trump and people that weren't supporters, but they all wanted the photograph taken with the bowl.
Yes.
So hopefully in the future, like, we'll have the second bowl will be here and people can come in and have a look and see.
And do you name the bowls? No, not really.
I mean, there's an inscription on the front of the bowl.
Yeah, and is the inscription different this time? Obviously, Joe Biden.
It just changes the name of the president and the name of the Taoiseach. They're probably the only two changes that are on the bowl.
Is it from us, the people of Ireland?
Yes, it's presented. Yeah, it's beyond. You actually own a little bit of it, right?
Great.
It's from the people of Ireland. Yes.
Aha.
And the president
and Micheál Martin.
Micheál Martin presents it, but it's really on behalf of the people of Ireland.
Right.
He's presenting it on behalf of the people of Ireland.
Right. In it will be Shamrock, James O'Leary is the man. His company, Grow the Shamrock, that will feature in your bowl when we see it in the coming days.
The photographs that you'll probably see in the press release, it's the same shamrock, because we use the same shamrock in the bowl for photographing the bowl here.
Aha. James is on the line. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, and you, Ray?
Good, good to talk to you again. Congratulations, your Shamrock will feature in the White House. How many years is it now?
We'd be supplying around 30 years.
Right. 30 years. I'm just looking there. Probably George H.W. Bush, first one. That's in senior. Then Bill Clinton. Then George W. Bush Jr., Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and now Joe Biden.
That's correct, yeah. Something to be proud of, you know.
Tell us, so it's grown down in Ballinskellig's.
It's grown down in Cool's greenhouse in Ballinskellig's, and there's a team below there. There's Joe Shukran, his son Kian and Marie, and they all do a wonderful job growing it and looking after it, you know.
Yeah, and would they be as exact as to measure the dimensions of the leaf? You know, is there a sort of a standard size shamrock that you aspire to?
There would be. No, it wouldn't be down to the dimensions of the leaf, but they'd be. You've heard the term, you know, a nice sprig of shamrock.
Yes, I have. Yes,
and we said there's a variation then where some like it just a bit more flush and a bit bigger, and more people would like it a bit on the smaller side. But yeah, there is a certain size that we would like them to be at. Yeah.
Now, getting your shamrock in the White House, very glamorous, like on a global scale.
Indeed.
You're involved in something a little bit, should I describe it, a little bit more mundane this year, but very exciting. I'm looking at a jar of mayonnaise in front of me here. Right, James. Eamon, I'll send it down to you because they're limited edition. It's Heinz Seriously Good Shamrock Mayo. Happy St. Patrick's Day. How did this come about?
Heinz approached us, I'd say sometime around November that way, you know, and they had this concept that they'd like to produce a shamrock flavoured mayonnaise.
Right.
And would we be able to supply them with the shamrock so they could extract the liquid flavouring from the plant?
Okay.
You know, so we supplied them in early December and they worked on it and they were very happy with the results, and they decided then they'd proceed ahead and they'd produce their shamrock flavoured mayonnaise for St. Patrick's Day this year.
It looks, just so people know what it looks like, it looks like a wasabi mayonnaise, you know, the same colouring as that. Wasabi, you know wasabi?
Yeah.
It has that same colouring. Have you tasted shamrock on its own? Have you actually eaten shamrock?
I have.
Right, go on.
I'm going to tell you a humorous one, Ray.
Right, go on. Right?
Was that? I was sitting at home having lunch today,
right?
And it was lovely, actually. It was outdoors. The sun was shining, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a pot of shamrock on the table. And I was saying, you know, I better chew a bit of this, you know, and get an idea of really... No, I have tasted it before, right? But just to refresh my mind again of what it tastes like.
Now, yeah.
I was afraid anybody would look at me because they'd be afraid I'd get locked up, you know? But anyway. Okay, the taste could have a mild taste. Okay, to be sweet. And if I was to put a connected taste with it, would be kind of garden peas.
Ah, yeah, garden peas. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the aftertaste that you'd be left with.
Okay, I've a bit of bread here now. I'm just going to dip it into the shamrock mayonnaise. Yeah, slightly pea. This is brilliant, though. This is brilliant because they've only produced 75 jars of this, and they're giving it away on social media, and it might take off, James.
Well, I'd be hopeful.
Yeah, well, you'd be hopeful, is right, wouldn't you? You've been the main shamrock producer in the country. Yeah, Have you two met? Seeing as you're so involved in St. Patrick's Day every year, the bowl and the shamrock. Have you ever met?
No.
Right. Okay.
No.
Through email.
Good to meet you live on radio.
Yeah. Well, maybe you might meet at some stage in the future.
It's two Gaeltachts meeting together in the White House.
Oh, yeah, because you're down in Rinn and then Ballinskellig's. Yeah, there you go.
That's a first.
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it?
And I think, isn't it really unique, Ray, that, you know, that both the shamrock and the bowl is coming from areas where the people are so fluent with the Gaelic and with the native language, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's
fitting.
Really
it's
entrenching
fitting.
It in Irishness, isn't it?
It is fitting. Okay. So there, when you're looking at the pictures, whenever they appear in the papers of Joe Biden with the bowl and the shamrock, there's the two men with their teams who are responsible. Eamon Terry, Master Craftsman at Crystal and Arena, the bowl, and then James O'Leary, shamrock grower, for the shamrock. Happy St. Patrick's Day, gentlemen.
No, look,
and the same to you, Ray.
Thank you very much. Hey, see you.
Thank you very much, Ray. Thanks.
Bye, bye now. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A first-time buyer? When you're ready, we're ready. Go to libertyinsurance.ie and get up to 9 weeks free home insurance. Some good news for first-time buyers. Welcome home. Liberty Insurance. Ready for the real world.
9 weeks free home insurance includes 5 weeks free 10% and an additional 4 weeks free 8% for first-time buyers only. Maximum discount €40 for buildings and €15 for contents. A first-time buyer is defined as a first-time buyer of home insurance for property they own, subject to minimum premium and applied before optional covers. Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. Liberty Seguros, Compañía de Seguros, Araya Seguros, SAA, trading as Liberty Insurance, is authorised by the General Director of Insurance and Pension Funds in Spain and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for conduct of business rules.
Why not grow your five a day? It's simple and easy. You can do it on your patio or balcony. New potatoes, herb, salad, vegetable seeds and bulbs are now available for a home delivery. Visit Horkins.ie and we will deliver to your door. So remember, visit Horkins.ie and enjoy growing your five a day.
Tradfest Temple Bar celebrates St. Patrick this March. Join us online with Stephen Ray in a tribute to poet Derek Mahan, Matt Malloy, Frankie Gavin, Idel Fox, Feely Speaks, Shibale, Phelim Drew and the Drew House Band remembering Ronnie and the Dubliners. Tickets from £2.99. See tradfest.ie.
RTE supporting the arts.
Supporting artists.
Supporting us.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I don't know if you knew this, but today is National Flag Day. It's an initiative of the Thomas F. Maher Foundation. And one of the people, one of the ambassadors for National Flag Day is Paddy Bonner, who's on the line now. How are you doing, Paddy?
Afternoon, Ray. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. So you're over in Scotland, are you?
I do, yes. I live. Listen, I've been here over 40 years now, would you believe it? That's, it's amazing. Wow. Here in Glasgow. Married to a Glasgow lady. My kids are all here, so I'm afraid I'm... Well, could I say caught in Glasgow?
Well, you've been over there more than you lived here.
Well, yeah, listen, I went away when I was 18 over to Celtic, and I was there for 17 years and then went down to England for a little while. Went over, obviously worked in Dublin for a while as technical director, but always had the base here, so that's where I am.
I suppose as an Irish man living abroad, the Irish flag probably means more to you, does it?
Well, I can't say that for the people living in Ireland, but it certainly means a hell of a lot, and it does, I suppose. You know, when I went away from home, I must say that I probably became more Irish than when I was at home, because you miss home, you miss your friends, you miss your family, you miss everything about Ireland, and you can almost kind of go into it in a bigger way, playing the Irish songs and doing all of those things that probably I wouldn't have done maybe when I was at home.
Yeah.
And the flag does mean a lot because it's an unbelievable symbol for all of us who are abroad and everybody back in Ireland, I hope, at this stage.
And of course, all of those amazing memories that you must have emblazoned in your brain from Italia 90, etc. there's loads of hundreds of Irish flags in those images, isn't there?
Yeah, and you know, the national anthem was huge for us too, you know, when we walked out onto that pitch, and then we all turned, as you know, if you look back at the old footage, we all turned to the flag when that national anthem was playing, and it was a symbol, and it did hugely matter. But you know, the funny thing about it was probably only that when I joined this sort of foundation group, this committee, that I really found out what the true meaning of the flag was and how it developed and so on. And it was an eye-opener for me, to be honest, because while, you know, I was very Irish, very, very national in many ways, but I didn't really know that the humble beginnings of it.
Yeah. So Thomas F. Maher was the first man to fly the tricolour down in Waterford. The significance of the colours, and you've been in Scotland as well, like it is, it's significant up there as well, isn't it?
It is, obviously, the green, white and orange, as you say, the coming together, the whole peace and reconciliation and bringing people together and cultures. Yeah, living in Glasgow, as you can well imagine, over the years, that, you know, from my perspective, you know, it was never an issue for me, to be honest, because, you know, I grew up in Donegal and we had this sort of kind of an open house in Donegal. My mum and dad, they had bed and breakfast. We were right on the sea there. So that was the the way of probably earning a living. And people from all creeds and all walks of life came through our house, and you know, a lot of them remained big friends with the family. And even in the area that I live down there, a lot of people from Northern Ireland would have a lot of holiday homes, a lot of Protestant people came down, and so on, and we all became great friends. So it was never a big thing for me, and going to Glasgow then was a bit of an eye-opener when I realised what was going on over here. But, you know, my wife is, she's a Protestant girl, and it was never an issue for us.
So the flag is sort of, it's a statement of anti-sectarianism, really, isn't it?
Say it again.
The flag is a statement of inclusivity. You know, we're all in it together.
Of course, it says inclusivity and the integration of cultures and people and different creeds and so on. And certainly, I think that's the education that I like to sort of focus on. You know, so other people might have different connotations of the flag, but that's what the true meaning is, and that's what we want to try and probably get that message out and educate the young kids who are in our schools, and that's what Flag Day is all really about.
Yeah, so schools around the country, secondary schools, would have been flying the flag today. There was also a competition, and Gracie, a girl called Gracie Friel from Scullwer and Bruncranna, your own county, won. And I'm just looking at Gracie's picture
lovely,
there.
Isn't it?
It's really lovely. It's really lovely because it you know, the flag features as a face mask, and there's a residential care nurse minding an elderly man, and her face mask is the tricolour. So that's lovely. So well done to Gracie Friel
on
winning that. Yeah. So do you miss? When's the last time you've been back in Donegal, Paddy?
Oh, I was back last July. I went over for 3 weeks, and I had a chance to sort of isolate out in a little island that my brother's got a house out on it. And
nice.
I went out there, and I kind of, my wife didn't go over with me because of the issues around COVID, but I wanted to go and see everybody, and I isolated for them 2 weeks, and it was lovely actually on my own, because it was just a change of scenery.
You were on your own. You were completely.
I was on my own out, and I even had the big fire on and the house, and even though it was July, and I had to do that, and then obviously going out walking on the beach, and just that. And it was brilliant. It's an island where you can drive onto, which is nice. So, but if once the sea comes in, you're cut off. But
listen, Paddy Bonner, I'm running out of time now, but I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you, sit you down at some stage and talk to you about your 3 weeks alone on an island. I'd love to talk to you about that. So we'll do that in the future. That's a date. But for the moment, National Flag Day, initiative Thomas F. Maher Foundation, and telling us about it today was Paddy Bonner. Thanks, Paddy. See you now. Bye now. Bye.
Bye now.
Back to Studio 8 now to Sharon Shannon. How are you doing, Sharon? Hello there. You're having the crack over there. I want to go over there. Right, continue the session there and bring us up to the note when you're ready. Sharon Shannon, Jim and Jack, go for it.
Okay.
Live music on Studio 8, Sharon Shannon, Jim and Jack, and more from them later on. But Anish Tosh and Amda, free scales and a note to the Marianne Huluan. Grandma, good Marianne, thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Would you wish my husband Anthony Deaney from Letterkenny a happy birthday? He listens to you every day while painting up a ladder in a fancy building on Fifth Avenue. His co-workers from South America say, Anthony, here's Ray Darcy. That's the way it's written. It's all capitals and lots of E's and lots of Y's. Your wife, Joe, and your daughter, Katie Booley, say hello and happy birthday. We're on top of the moon today because Grandad Finbar Masterson has just received his first COVID vaccination. We cannot wait to give him a huge hug soon, says Liz in Mayo. And there you go. Rachel Blackmore, you would have heard it there on Noakt, made racing history today as she became the first female jockey to win the champion hurdle at Cheltenham with victory on Honeysuckle. There you go. That's big news. She'd be in the history books for that. And maybe even feature on a future quiz of today. Yes. See what I did there? 16th of March, 10 questions, two contestants on the way. But first, I must tell you about our prize. Comes courtesy of Electric Ireland, who want to help us all make better energy choices. Because the more of us that do that, the better it will be for the whole country and indeed the planet. That's why they're so excited about the launch of their smart meters price plans and all the benefits that go with them. Search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out more. And they've given us, the good people at Electric Ireland, a brand new iPad to give away today. And it's exciting. Hello, Geraldine Henderson.
Hi Ray, how's it going?
Good. How are things in Kinsale?
Well, today is a beautiful day. The sun is splitting the stones and there's blue skies everywhere.
Oh, lovely. And a nice place to be when the weather's like that.
It couldn't be better.
Right. And it's supposed to be like that tomorrow as well.
Oh, thanks be to God. Fingers yeah. crossed.
Like they're talking 16 degrees tomorrow, Geraldine.
Down in Munster, yeah. I heard that on the radio earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Down in Munster. I think we're going to get her up here as well.
I have to tell you before we start the quiz, we love the den. My two daughters and myself, they grew up looking at you on the den.
Right, okay.
And we enjoy it so much. I hope it comes back soon.
Well, they told me it's coming back in the autumn, but I don't know. You know, things can change and all that sort of thing.
Oh, Ray, it really cheered us up. It was so funny.
Well, I enjoyed it no end. Like, it was just a laugh. You know, imagine I get paid for that. Pure laugh. Now, who are the daughters?
I have my eldest daughter, Emma, and my second daughter, Fiona.
And are they away or at home?
No, Fiona lives with me at home.
Great.
And Emma lives just outside Cork City, about 18 miles.
Ah, right. And you celebrated a big birthday during lockdown?
Oh, I did, and I was so disappointed because my daughter could arrange for us to go away for a lovely weekend, spa and everything, and sure, everything went down the swan.
Pear-shaped, yeah. But sure, you can do it the other side, you know.
Oh, please God.
Yeah. So you just, it was sort of a small party as a result, just you and the family.
Oh, there was no party at
no
all.
No party at all.
No
party at all.
Okay. House, so
right. Okay, you're up against Sean Fitzsimons in Ballybock in Dublin. How are you doing, Sean?
How's Cunt Ray?
Not too bad. Who's at home with you?
The wife, Mairead, and the two children, Adam and Liam.
Right. Are they back at school or?
They're back since this week already.
Oh, yeah. So what are they in? What year are they in?
They're in secondary school.
Oh yeah, so they're back. Yeah, no, because we've a secondary school student at home and she's not back till after Easter, Kate.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think she'd prefer to be back at school, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I think you've been listening to Ryan Tuberty. You're doing a bit of power hosing, are you?
I was, yeah. And then I had to wash the windows and doors because they were full of smoke and everything.
Oh, yes.
I've done the top ones as well, but I'm not very good up on ladders.
You're only 43.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
No, but you're afraid of heights or what is it? Or?
I got up, but I don't like heights.
Right. That's what happens. People don't realise that when you use a power hose that it throws dirt up everywhere, doesn't it?
Everywhere, that's on the car and everything,
Yeah. What's the weather like out in Ballybock?
It's beautiful. It's lovely and sunny and it was warm as well. It's not windy. It's beautiful.
Beautiful day. Great. And as I say, it's going to be like that tomorrow for St. Patrick's Day as well. Okay, five questions each. Geraldine and Sean, whoever answers most correctly gets the iPad. If there's a draw at the end of five, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck to you both, Geraldine and Sean.
Fingers crossed. Good luck.
Right, here we go. Right. Geraldine, first question for you. On this day in 1922, Egypt achieved independence from Britain. On what continent would you find Egypt?
A continent.
Yeah. It's not
Africa, is it?
Yeah, it's not a trick question. Africa is the correct answer. For you, Sean, on this day in 2013, Kim Yoo-na of South Korea won the Women's 2013 World Figure Skating Championships. On what continent would you find South Korea?
Asia.
His correct answer. Geraldine, second question for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret. my old chum.
On this day in 2002, that Oscar-winning entertainer and daughter of Judy Garland married producer David Guest in New York. You heard her there in Cabaret. Can you name her?
Liza Minnelli.
It's a correct answer.
Very good.
For you, Sean, have a listen to this.
Free man dies, he loses the pleasure of life. Slave loses its pain. Death is the only freedom a slave knows. That's why he's not afraid of it.
On this day in 1961, at the 18th Golden Globes, that movie starring Kirk Douglas as an escaped slave who led a rebellion was nominated for the Best Film Award. Can you name the movie?
Spartacus.
Is the correct answer. Well done. And Kirk Douglas died last year. He was 103.
That's it, yeah.
Great age. February last year. Now, Geraldine, it's 2-2. Your third question is this. On this day in 1954, Nancy Wilson, guitarist with the group Heart, was born in California. What we want to know is, which of these animals appears on the state flag of California? A lion or a bear?
God, bear?
Bear is the correct answer. Yes, well done. And for you, Sean, similar question. On this day in 1836, the Constitution of the Republic of Texas was approved. The state flag of Texas features one star. But what colour is that star? Is it red or is it white?
White.
It's the correct answer. Yeah, Lone Star State. You two are good. 3-3. Question number 4, Geraldine. It's an audio one again. Have a listen to this. I'm sorry that I made you cry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm just a jealous guy. Careful with this one now. On this day in 1981, that song Jealous Guy was at number one. Can you name the group?
Oh my God, I'm not very good at music.
No.
Jealous Guy.
Jealous Guy, yeah. I need an answer. No. No.
What year was it, sorry?
1981. I need an answer from you, Geraldine. No.
No.
Roxy Music.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
It was a cover of a John Lennon song, Jealous Guy, and it was released after...
And I was thinking of the Beatles.
You were thinking of the Beatles. There you go. That's why I said be careful. Okay. Right, yeah. Sean, a chance for you to go in front. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1971, that song, Hot Love, was at number one. Can you name the group?
T-Rex,
correct answer. Now, Geraldine, Sean is on 4, you're on 3. If you answer this one correct, you're still in with a chance. And then if Sean answers his final question incorrectly, then we're into a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 1959, Jens Stoltenberg, politician and former Prime Minister of Norway, was born in Oslo. Which of these countries has a larger population than Norway? Uruguay, Serbia, or Lithuania? So which of those countries has a larger population than Norway?
What were the three again, sorry?
Uruguay, Serbia, or Lithuania?
Uruguay.
Now I can tell you that Norway has a population of 5 million. Uruguay has a population of 3 million. Serbia was the answer we were looking for.
Sugar
is right. Hard luck, Geraldine, and you can put some sugar into the Ray Darcy Show mug that we're sending out to you in your tea.
Okay, I gave it a chance anyway. I gave it a go.
You did give it a go, and listen, great talking to you. Enjoy the fine weather.
Thank you.
Okay, cheers. Lovely talking to you, Geraldine. Well done. See you.
Lovely.
Bye. Sean.
Yeah.
Well done. An iPad is on its way to Ballybock to you, sir.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. See you
I
now.
I will. You bye. Too. Thanks bye, very bye, much. Bye. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Anya's been on to it, says, I'm dancing around the kitchen here after listening to Sharon Shannon. I got a strong sense after listening to her fantastic music that we will all get through these difficult times and emerge stronger than ever. Thanks, Sharon, for lifting the nation today. We so needed it. That's nice, isn't it? And Noreen's been on. You said Sharon released her first album 30 years ago. Well, I think she played in my mother's pub in Cork before that when she was in UCC. The pub was called the Ovens Tavern in Oliver Plunkett Street. Well, I'll ask her, Nori, when we talk to her at the end of the show. And never mind 16 degrees centigrade tomorrow, I'm down in Ballygannon Wood in Rathdrum, and it's 19 degrees centigrade down here now. Beautiful, says Liam. Now, yesterday, we were delighted to hear that our friends in Cartoon Saloon were nominated for an Oscar for Wolfwalkers in the Best Animated Feature category. That's their fifth Oscar nomination. This movie, directed by Tom Moore and Ross Stewart, tells the story of Maeve Og MacTierra, a free-spirited girl who's a member of a mysterious tribe who transform into wolves at night. Maeve is played by 12-year-old Eva Whittaker from Prosperous in County Kildare, and she joins me now on the line. How you doing, Eva?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Congratulations. You star in an Oscar-nominated movie. How does that feel?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's quite surreal too, though. You know, I'm really lucky to have been a part of this film.
Yeah. So were you? Did you just return to school yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what a day. Where were you then when you heard that the movie had been nominated for an Oscar?
I was just after coming home from school. My dad was waiting for me at the car, and the first thing he said to me was that Wolfwalkers has been nominated for an Oscar. I was like, "What?" We were all a bit freaking out then in the car park.
That like, it's just, it's hard to get your head around it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long ago did you actually do the voiceover for the movie?
God, it would have been about like 3 years ago now.
Oh, okay. So what age are you now?
I'm 12 now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. So you were 9 at the time. Right. Yeah. And had you done stuff before, Eva?
No. This is my first thing ever. Yeah.
Well, it's a good way to start, isn't it?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. What would I like to do? Well, I'd like to start in an Oscar-nominated movie. Thank you very much. Yes, that'll be nice, yeah. So tell us about Maeve Og MacTierra.
Maeve is the young wolfwalker in the film. You know, she's wild, she's bold, she's feisty. But, you know, underneath all that, she's just a little girl who's missing her mammy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, it's just, the movie is so brilliant. It's How many times have you watched it?
Ooh,
be honest, I now. Think,
the first time we watched it, I was with my grandparents and my family. We watched it in our house.
Yeah.
And then we watched it again in the cinema. Right. And then we watched it a few times at home. So I'd say about 4 times maybe altogether.
Yeah, I'd say it gets better. I'd say you see things in it that you didn't see the first couple of times.
Yes, the detail is amazing.
Yeah, because you could just pause it and there you have a work of art, don't you?
That's it, exactly, yeah.
Mm. So this, like, what does this, I'm trying to get into your head, Eva Whittaker. I'm just, like, last night when you were lying in bed trying to go to sleep, what was going through your head?
I honestly couldn't believe it. It's really amazing. I'm really happy for everyone at Cartoon Saloon.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a Kildare woman, I'm a Kildare man. You know, Prosperous is famous for traditional music. Did you know that?
Are we?
Yeah, yeah. Back in the 60s and the early 70s, they used to travel from Dublin and they used to have a session down in a pub in Prosperous. And that's where Planxty, the famous group with Christy Moore, that's where they made their first recording. It was called Prosperous. So now, there you go. Right. So what happens next? What happens next for you? Will you get to go to the Oscars or no, you don't, because they're not on this year. So what's your plan?
Well, hopefully I'll be able to stay up and maybe hear the news and see what happens. But as far as I know, I won't be going.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd say it's all virtual again. And as a result of Wolfwalkers, have you been offered other parts?
I was actually involved in another Cartoon Saloon production, which should be coming out this year or next year, Puff and Rock the Movie.
Right. Well done. Yeah. And what's the dream? What's the ambition?
Well, I mean, I'd love to be an actor, you know. I really love it, so hopefully I'll get more opportunities like this.
Right. Well, listen, anybody who hasn't seen Wolfwalkers, it's available to download on Apple, isn't it? It's on Apple there.
It is, Apple TV, yes.
Yeah, and hopefully when everything's opened up, it'll be back in the cinema. It's an amazing Irish animation, been nominated for an Oscar, and starring Eva Whittaker, age 12, from Kildare, Prosperous in Kildare, as Maeve Og MacTierra. Thanks very much, Eva. Well done again.
Thank you for having me.
See you now. Bye, 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 bye. Terry McCoy is a man we spoke to on the show last May. Terry is a chef and a forager, and he has a keen interest in St. Patrick, It's an interest that was piqued when he was looking over at St. Patrick's Island off the coast of Skerries. And Terry is on the line now. How are you doing, Terry?
Hello, Ray. How are you? And happy St. Patrick's Week to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at your book here, St. Patrick's Plate, Food Inspired by the Saint and His Saga by Terry yes. McCoy. So is that what the island's called, or did I just make that
up?
Well,
we know it here as Church Island or Patrick's Island, yes.
Okay, okay. And what's the story then about that island and St. Patrick?
Well, when Patrick came back to Ireland to Christianise us, he came paddling across the Irish Sea, and the first landfall, he landed on Church Island off Skerries, and he set up his camp there, and he had one little companion with him, a little goat, and he could milk the goat and make a little cheese and sustain himself. So one day he went paddling off south of here towards Donabate to Christianise those people. So when the locals saw he was gone, they were watching, and they saw he was gone, they went out, raided the island, and took what they could, but they found the little goat.
Right.
Took it ashore here to Skerries and killed it and ate it. So Patrick was very upset, so he put a curse on all the Skerries men that their sons would bleat like goats and all their daughters would grow beards. So we've been trying to suck up to St. Patrick ever since that lift, lifted. Yes.
It doesn't sound like the compassionate St. Patrick that I was taught about in school.
He has forgiven us.
So he would have fended for himself then out in the island. So in your imagination, what might he have cooked? Give us an idea.
Well, that was the kind of curiosity for me.
Yeah.
So he was of Roman stock. So he would have had some provisions with him, a store locker, but he would have had to forage along the shore, and he could have got seaweed there. And there's quite a lot of edible seaweed in Ireland, although we're not very familiar with it, but we should be, but we're not. And he could have done that, and he would have had periwinkles and cockles and mussels, like the song goes. So he could have sustained himself. And of course, he was on a very healthy diet, which gave him huge energy and allowed him to traverse Ireland from one parish to the next, converting people. And
he lived to a good age.
He did, yes, to, I believe, 75, which is my age now.
Right, and that would have been very old for back then.
Ah, yes, it would have, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So would he have been able now, over on the island opposite Skerries, would he have been able to cook up, say, a chowder or something like that?
Yes, he would have, because he would have had limited pots.
Right.
So, and he wouldn't have been, like all men, very keen on doing washing up. So he would have been able to put cockles and mussels and whatever vegetables he could forage for around at the time and cook it all up. Now, of course, chowder is really an American or Canadian creation, but we just like to put into a seafood stew. So it's very easy to cook, and it's on page 44 of my book.
St. Patrick's Plate, Food Inspired by the Saint and the Saga, Terry McCoy. And people can see you as part of the St. Patrick's Festival TV tomorrow. If you go to stpatricksfestival.ie, the St. Patrick Show is on at 3 o'clock tomorrow. stpatricksfestival.ie, the St. Patrick Show.
What's developed, Ray, from this is that we've cooperated with the St. Patrick Centre in Downpatrick.
Right.
And we've been able to create a show there with a view that when the pandemic finishes, people will be able to go up there, eat three dishes off the out of the book, the recipes in the book, and see an all-singing and dancing show which has been created specially for the St. Patrick's Centre. And it will be premiered, a copy of the show will be premiered on St. Patrick's Evening on the site you've just mentioned.
And Terry, when all this is over, you'll come in and you'll cook us up something that St. Patrick might have eaten.
I certainly will.
Enjoy tomorrow. Thanks, Terry.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ray.
Bye. Back to Studio 8 we go. Sharon Shannon's there, and she is performing live and streaming her concert from the National Concert Hall this Saturday night. And dice.fm, or if you go to Sharon Shannon's website, you'll be able to get tickets for that. And The Reckoning is her new album. What are you going to sing us out on, Sharon?
Oh, we're going to do one that always gets requested everywhere we go, all over the world, Ray. So we're going to do it again today, and it's The Galway Girl.
When you're ready, Jim, Jack, Sharon, go for it.
A stroll down the old long walk of a day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I ask you now, what would you do if her hair was black and her eyes were blue? And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl down the Salt Hill Prom with the Galway girl. Halfway there when the rain came down on the day I she asked me up to her flat downtown on a fine soft day. And I ask you now, what's a fella to do? Cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. So I took her hand and I gave her a twirl, and I lost my heart to a Galway girl. I was all alone with a broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you now, what's a fella to do? Cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. And I've been around, I've been all over the world, and boys, I've never seen nothing like a Galway girl.
Hey, that was fantastic. That was absolutely brilliant. Jim, Jack, Sharon, thank you so much. Have a brilliant St. Patrick's Day. Good luck with the concert on Saturday night. I really enjoyed that, and so did our listeners today. So thank you very, very much. Thanks, thank you.
Thank
you. And thanks to Gara on Sound and Studio 8 and Patter here on Sound. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back on Thursday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.